Joel, you want to know something?
What?
Every now and then, say what the f***. What the f*** gives you freedom? Freedom brings opportunity. Opportunity makes your future. If you can't say it, you can't do it.
Welcome to Sailing in the Mediterranean podcast. I'm your host. My name is Franz.
Well, I'm off on a walk. It's Tuesday, March 18th. It's a beautiful day. Walking up towards City Creek Canyon. It's a little cool. I'm wearing a sweatshirt, but walking shorts other than that. Just a gorgeous day. Just a gorgeous day. Had a little bit of correspondence with one of my listeners, Ron Allen. Ron has a house right on the coast in New Jersey, and he sent me some photographs of his boat, which used to be moored in front of his house in his backyard. The storm surge just picked up the boat, threw it in his backyard. He sent some pictures of water in the streets and other power boats that had ended up in the front of people's houses. I asked him if I could put some of those photographs on the website. He said, sure, go ahead. Ron also has reviewed the ASA 101, and he's currently working on reviewing the ASA 103. He wrote me and asked me for a passcode so that he could review that, and I said, sure. Ron has his commercial Coast Guard license, his master's license with the towing endorsement and sail endorsement, same license I carry. So I look forward to his comments. He wrote me a very nice review on the ASA 101. Thanks, Ron. I appreciate that. Ron is also an amateur radio operator, and he's active as a base station for amateur radio operating boats that are going up and down the East Coast. And there's some special technology that I'm not familiar with. And I've asked him if he'd come on and tell us how sailors can use amateur radio. So I'm looking forward to that. We're trying to set up the podcast, set up the time to do the interview in the next week or so. Ron also put me in touch with Mark Doyle, who makes cruising guides that are available in iTunes. And I wanted to do an interview with Mark, but he's saying it's too busy right now and it's going to have to be sometime in the summer. So hopefully we can get that done sometime this summer. Out of the 32 lessons that I gave away for free to review the ASA 101, the idea was I would give them away and they would write a review. So far, out of those 31, three people have actually written a review, so 10%. If more people don't come through, I've already decided that was a bad idea. If you want to review the ASA 103, write me a note and I'll send you a code that you can download it from Gumroad for free. But I'm not going to give out a blanket code that people can go download it for free, because so far only 10% have done what they said they'd do, which is a bit disappointing. But on the other side, they've all been very positive reviews, so I shouldn't complain too much. Well, I've laid out the summer sailing schedule. I have two of the three crews lined up, and I'll probably have the third crew lined up by the end of next week. The third crew is going to be just my clients, friends or clients. But the first crew, as well as also friends, Mike and his family, Nick and Erica, they're going to join me for the first leg. Then the second leg is the leg that I haven't filled up yet. And the third leg is going to be filled up by two of the people that have contributed to this podcast. At least as far as I know, Neil Fletcher, who's handling my social media, and Jack Andrews, who I interviewed earlier. Now, I sent the information to Jack a couple days ago. I haven't heard back from him, so I'm not sure if Jack's on for sure or not. But assuming he is, that's going to fill up that crew. Now, if Jack can't make it for some reason, there may still be another opening, and I want to give that opening to one of my listeners. So if you're interested to be a stand-in in case Jack can't make it, drop me a note, tell me a little bit about yourself, and You may go, but chances are Jack will go, but just in case. So the summer sailing schedule is I leave here on May 20th. Fly over to Istanbul, catch a flight down to Izmir, then a cab down to Kushadasi, head to the marina, start working on the boat. Two projects I need to do before my first crew arrives is I want to decalcify the heat exchanger. Hopefully that'll eliminate my engine overheating problems. I may also change the thermostat, because that thermostat's quite old, but thermostats don't go out that often. I've only had to replace one thermostat in a car in my entire life. It's a pretty easy fix. Pop off three bolts, take the old thermostat out, take the old gasket out, put a new gasket and thermostat in, and put the bolts back in, so there's nothing to change in the thermostat. But I'll also change the hoses. Those hoses are old. At some point in time, they'll break. Why not just prevent it? Just do some preventative maintenance on it. So I'll change the hoses, change the thermostat, decalcify the heat exchanger, and hopefully that'll take care of the problem. Of course, I'll also check the water filter that comes in to make sure it's not clogged up, but that hasn't been the problem. There's been circulation through the engine, so it's not a water problem. It's a exchange of BTU problems from the salt water to the fresh water, or vice versa. And I also need to get my refrigerator working. Refrigeration has been a headache for the last 3 years. Either I'm going to tear the whole damn thing out and put a new one in, or get the existing one working. I'm not sure what to do. I've been in contact with the manufacturer of this supposedly top-notch, top-priced refrigerator. And if I can get it working, it works really well. But so far, I've had problems with it. We'll see. I may just pull it out and put a new one in. So the first crew will join me on the 25th. May, we'll sail from Kushadasi down to Pythagoria on the island of Samos, clear in to Greece in Samos. Of course, we'll have to clear out of Kushadasi before we leave. Clear in to Greece. Then we'll sail from Pythagoria over to another port along the southern coast of Samos. Let me try to pronounce it. It's Marathokabo. Let me spell it. Marathokabou. It's a mouthful anyway. It's been there before. Then from there, we'll sail to the Faruni Islands, which are the islands a little south between Samos and Ikarios. These islands have a reputation of being very, very windy. But hopefully this early in the year, the winds will not be blowing. The Meltemis won't be blowing. Visit that island, and then we have a long haul the next day. 32 miles, that's the longest haul we have on this week. From Faruni over to the island of Agathonisi. So I've never been to Faruni before, and I've never been to Agathonisi before. So those are going to be two islands that I am able to check off my list of Greek islands. Agathonisi I've gone by many times as I've sailed up and down the coast, but usually it's when I haven't been cleared into Greece, so I have to bypass it. Since I'll be cleared into Greece, I'll go visit it this time. And then from Agathonisi, we'll go back to Pythagoria on the island of Samos. So that'll be a circle. Now, normally I don't like to do circles. I like to do big. If it's going to be a circle, it's going to be a big circle. But normally I don't do circles at all. I like to go start at one port and end up in a totally different port. And I don't like to backtrack as a general rule. But also, when you're laying out a summer schedule, you have to figure out how crews are going to meet you and where they're going to meet you at. Samos has an airport, an international airport. There's quite a few flights a day between Samos and Athens and Samos and other European cities. And also there's a ferry that goes from Pythagoria or Vathi, either city, I think both of them have ferries, that will go over to Kushadasi. So this allows like Nick and Erica to be able to fly in and out of Istanbul instead of having to fly into Istanbul and out of Athens. Sometimes it's quite expensive to get an open jaw ticket like that. I don't know why, but airlines try to gouge you wherever they can, I guess. So that's going to allow them to catch the ferry back to Kushadasi and then fly back out of Istanbul. Of course, they'll have to catch a connecting flight from Izmir back up to Istanbul. So the next crew will join me in Pythagoria on the island of Samos. We'll go back to Agathonisi and then over to the little island of Arki, which is a cute little island. Tiny island with a little port. I've been there two times before. Hopefully we'll get there early enough that there'll be a place at the dock. If not, we'll have to anchor out. But it's a neat little picture-perfect, tiny, tiny little village. I think the last time I was there, they had two tavernas. And one other taverna had closed down. My guess is there'll be two tavernas. From Arki, we'll sail over to Patmos. Patmos is where the Book of Revelations was written. I'm not religious, but a lot of pilgrims go to Patmos to go up to the cave. And from Patmos, we'll sail back to the island of Lipsy, and from Lipsy down to Laki, or the island of Liros, the town of Laki, and that's where that crew will leave from. Well, now again, I'm going to Liros because Liros has an airport. And so it's easy for crews to catch connecting flights back to Athens. A few years ago, it was probably about 10 years ago, I was supposed to pick a crew up in Liros. So I get there and I'm sitting around waiting for them to arrive. The time comes when they should have joined me on the boat. They don't show up. It's blowing quite hard, by the way. It's pretty windy. In fact, very windy. But the harbor at Laki is fully protected, so no problem for being at anchor there. But it's blowing hard. It's got good, the anchorage has good holding. They actually have a couple marinas there if you want to go into a marina, but you don't have to because there's plenty of anchorage in Laki, the town of Laki on Liros. So I'm sitting there waiting, taking my binoculars out and looking on shore every now and then for somebody standing there looking for me. And after a while, I get a phone call. It's them, and they say, well, we flew over there, and our plane tried to land four times, and the winds were too dangerous that he diverted to Kosh. So we ended up in Kosh. Now, I could have asked them to catch a ferry up, but I thought, well, I'll just go down to Kosh, because I needed to go to Kosh anyway, because that's where I was going to clear out of Greece. So I rigged up, put up my storm sail, and headed out. It was a great ride, white-knuckle ride, downwind, fortunately. If it had been into the wind, I would have said forget it. But it was a downwind run, but it was balls to the walls. Got into the full-service marina there and had to have somebody come out and help me tie up, because when you're short-handed, when you're by yourself, that's the hardest part, is tying up into a full-service marina. And I proceeded to drink too much. Anyway, hopefully we won't have that same problem when the next crew arrives in Liros this summer. Now, the final crew is going to be my listeners, Neil and Jack. And this is going to be, in my opinion, the funnest leg of the trip. We've got some long legs. We'll sail from Liros over to the little tiny island of Levithia. I've been to Levithia twice before. And Levithia is just this little island inhabited by one or maybe two farmers. They make their main source of income by serving dinner to the sailors that come through. And it's quite a delight because these are not charter sailors. These are typically cruising sailors that are going through here. This is off the charter path. So you get together, you go up to this little farmhouse, you're sitting in a patio and there's other sailors there. Have good conversations. It's quite delightful. There's a couple mooring buoys in this tiny little harbor. I've both moored there and also anchored there. There's not much room for anchorage, so I probably will pick up a mooring buoy if one's available. If not, I do know where to anchor. But the bottom is not the best holding. From Levithia, we have a long haul down to Ostapeleia. I've been to Ostapeleia twice now. This will be the third time. I'm not sure where I'm going to tie up in Ostapeleia. Not sure where we're going to anchor. But it'll be a... Ostapalais is a neat island. It's sort of hard to get to. I tried to exchange crews in Ostapalais years before, but making the connections was really hard. There's not that many ferries that run in and out of Ostapalais. They don't have an airport. And it's not a very populated island, but it's a neat island. I like it. So, from Ostapalais, we have a long haul, 44 miles, to Mondraki. Mondraki I've been to once before. I rode out a big storm in Mondraki. And it's an island. It's pretty interesting. Again, very few tourists on this island and not too many charters. Again, it's off the charter path. But they have a caldera on this island. I guess it used to be a volcano, but this caldera has a lot of sulfur springs. Interesting to wander around, so we'll probably rent a car and go visit some of these places. I spent a whole day driving around in a car on Mondraki when I was there before, and it was interesting. There's a nice Kora way up on the hill. There's a nice port town just a little farther east of the port that I'd stayed at. The port I stayed at has full protection, very well protected. And then there's another port a little farther to the west of the one I stayed at. And then from Mondraki, we'll head north back up to the island of Kosh. And then we'll clear out of Greece and Kosh and then head over to Bodrum and clear back into Turkey. And we'll pull the boat out of the water, do the chores. And I put my boat up for the year. I have a few things that I do all the time. First, I change the engine oil. Second, I change the diesel fuel filters. Wash it down, of course. Deflate the dinghy, put it away, take the sails off, put them in the bags, put everything down below, take the life raft off the top of the boat, put it down below. Everything goes down below and there's no room down inside the boat. So we'll probably get a cheap hotel room while we're putting the boat away for the winter. I don't really have any major chores to do on the boat this year. It's about time I get some new sails made, so I may get a bid on having some new sails made. Maybe one at a time. Probably should replace the mainsail. It's getting pretty thin down by the boom. And then putting on the full cover, which is probably about a 4 or 5 hour chore. At least with three people, it'll be a little faster. It won't be quite so bad. I've done it by myself, and it's a real headache. But it protects the boat 9 months, 10 months out of the year. And it's been worth its weight in gold. I had a new one made a couple years ago. The first one finally wore out. And then head back to Istanbul and home, and that'll be the summer. That's it. Enough for the introductory remarks. The main part of this podcast is I'm going to cover the island of Samos. We're going to skip over from the Kyklotis Islands into the Dodecanese Islands. Well, Samos is one of my favorite islands. I have a few favorite islands, and I'm really hesitant of giving out my favorite spots. A few years ago, I was on a vacation from the boat in Turkey. Put the boat up. I gave myself a week to do some inland travel in Turkey. And I went up to my favorite little town, Gurame, in the Cappadocia region. Stayed at my favorite little pension, which was dirt cheap. Kazi pension. And I'd been there, I think, three times before. So I wasn't out to visit the open-air museum. I was just off wandering around. And the interesting thing about Cappadocia is the open-air museum is in one canyon. It has a lot of churches. And you pay to get in there, and you, along with all the other tourists, are wandering through these old ancient Christian churches, looking at the paintings on the walls. I've been there before. It's worth visiting, definitely worth visiting. It's a World Heritage Site. But if you just hop over the canyon, go up the canyon just to the, I think it's the south, I'm not sure of the directions, but just hop over to the next canyon. They have, I wouldn't say as many churches, but there's a lot of churches, and you're just out wandering through the fields, coming up on these churches, and lots of footpaths around there. Just a wonderful place to go wander around. And so I did. I was doing that one day, and then I was heading back to my pension. I was out walking on the flats. Had been done in the canyon. I was walking back on the flats on a dirt road. And a couple drives by, and they see me, and they pull over and say, "You want a ride?" Because I was still quite a ways away from the village. I said, "Sure." He said, "Are you in a hurry to go back?" And I said, "No, not in a hurry." He says, "You mind if we drive around?" Because I'd rented a car. They wanted to see the other areas of Cappadocia. I said, "Sure." So we commenced driving around different spots of Cappadocia. And it turns out this man and his wife, they were both Italian. And he worked for, I think it was Carnival Cruise Lines out of Genoa, Italy. Whatever the major cruise line that works out of Italy. He was an executive of the company. And we started talking. And I said, "I try to avoid ports where cruise ships come into." And he said, "I understand that completely." He said, "You know, every port we go into is pretty much ruined by the cruise ships coming in. You know, the cruise ships come in and let off 10,000 people at a time. They go on to the village buying T-shirts and tourist trinket trash. And whatever romance is there in name only, not necessarily there in reality anymore. And the cruise ships basically have a habit of ruining what they're selling." And he agreed with me on that. So for that reason, I'm always hesitant of giving out my favorite ports because I don't want it to be ruined by too much attention. But I will say Samos is, I shouldn't say this, but Samos is one of my favorite islands. And I've been all around Samos at least once. I've visited every port at least once, in the case of Pythagoria, 4 or 5 times. Well, I shouldn't say that. I have not taken my boat into Vathi. I've visited the town of Vathi, which is the main town of Samos. But I took a scooter and went up there and checked it out. That's where the main ferries come in. Pythagoria, on the other hand, is a picture-perfect little Greek port. Just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. And you have your choice there. You can either tie up at the town quay and watch the promenade every night, or you can anchor out. There's a big anchorage area, so there's plenty of spots to anchor. I think the first time I visited Samos was when I was sailing back down from Chios. It was a long, long haul, and I was by myself. I dropped my crew off in Chios, and I'm not sure where I was picking my next crew up, but nonetheless, I was sailing by myself. And it was a downwind run, and the Maltimis were blowing. And I was going gangbusters downwind. But it was a long, long day. I think more than 50 miles. And as it was getting dark, the only port that I could really get to was a port on the northwest side of Samos. The north side of Samos towards the western part of the island. And the name of the port is Karlovasi. And this is a port that some ferries come in and out of, other ferries go in and out of Vathi, but it's a ferry port nonetheless. It was blowing like crazy. And of course, the hard part of sailing by yourself is coming into a port and tying up at a dock or at a quay. The winds were such that I really couldn't safely back into the quay, so I chose to side tie. So I get into this protected area, so there's no waves. The wind's still blowing, and I get everything ready. I get my bumpers over on the port side of the boat. I get my bow line, my spring line, and my stern line all ran back to the side of the boat where the gate is on the lifeline, so I can step off and hurry and try to stop my boat from moving. And while I'm doing this, while I'm getting all this ready, there's about 6 or 7 Greeks sitting there on a bench, watching me. And then when I made my approach and I came in, what did they do? They kept their asses sitting on the chairs, watching me. Not a single Greek would stand up and take a line from me. And this is probably where I get my real strong bias in favor of Turks over Greeks, because if I'd been in Turkey, every one of them would have been there grabbing lines, wrapping it around something, doing whatever they could do to help me. But that's not the culture in Greece. They figure you're on your own, you're not part of us, you deal with it yourself. And so I did. And you do feel a sense of accomplishment when you can do that too. So that port was visited. There really wasn't much there. It was really a boring port. There might have been one little taverna, but I would not make any effort in ever going back there again, unless it was the only port in the storm, so to speak. So the next morning, the Maltemia died out, and so I just slowly cruised along the north coast of Samos, very slowly motoring. And you can get right up to the coast. It's very deep right up to the coast. So I cruised along under power up the coast. And there's a lot of beaches there. There's a lot of nooks and crannies there. It's a beautiful coast. It's a beautiful coast. I went around, went right by Vathi and continued around the corner into the town of Pythagoria. Now there's a couple other little spots that you can duck into right on the east side of Samos, and I've anchored in those little. There's a little town there. I think it's called Gatos, cat. Well, that would be cat in Spanish. I don't know what it is in Greek. And that's a neat little port with a couple little tavernas there. Not much room for many boats. And then now you turn the corner, now you're heading back west again. You go down to the town of Pythagoria, which, like I say, is a picture-perfect little village. Just to the east of Pythagoria, there's a marina there. When I visited it the first time, it was still under construction, but they did have a fuel dock there, and I could fill up fuel and water there, so I did. And then I headed on into Pythagoria, and proceeded to back into the quay. Now you had to get lucky to get into the quay, because it's usually pretty crowded. So you either have to be there when a boat's leaving and grab its spot, or just get lucky. So I got lucky. I was by myself. I went out and dropped my anchor and was backing into the quay. And the boats that I was backing into could see that my boat did not maneuver in reverse very well. And so they were up there protecting their boats. They got their bumpers over and made sure that I didn't do any damage to their boats, which I appreciated. I got situated, and then the boat to my port, it's a big boat, nice big boat. And he looks at me, and we start talking, and he's living on his boat. He's by himself. Switzerland. He's from Switzerland. And I've learned my lesson by now. You know, Americans, when they start a conversation with somebody, one of the first questions is, hey, what do you do for a living? Because that's something to talk about. It's something of interest. You know, let me learn about your profession, and I'll tell you about my profession. It's a common point of conversation. Well, I've learned with Europeans, that's not a good question to ask. Europeans, for some reason, don't like to talk about what they do for a living. It's just a culture thing. So we're talking, and he tells me he's from Switzerland. I tell him, I said, well, I've learned over the years not to ask you this question. So let me ask you, tell me the story of your life. And he smiled. He said, that's a much better way of learning about somebody. And we started talking. Turns out he was a pretty famous musician. I think it was piano, and I can't remember his name. It's in my notes somewhere. But we got talking. He said, what are you doing tonight for supper? I said, don't have any plans. He said, why don't you join me? So we went to his favorite little restaurant there, and he gave me some information. He said, you know, the problem with Greece is, and he was building a villa there in Pythagoria, so he had his boat there. He's building a villa there. He had a Brazilian girlfriend or wife. I'm not sure which. She was going to be joining him in a few days. But he said, you know, the problem with going out to a restaurant in Greece is if you go to a restaurant one day And then the next day you go to the restaurant next to them because you just want to check out the different restaurants. The people at the first restaurants are totally insulted. So he said, I sort of have to go back to the same restaurant because I have to get along here. So he took me to his favorite restaurant. It was typical Greek food. I get really tired of Greek food by the end of the summer. But we had a nice conversation, and I haven't seen him since, but it was a nice conversation. So anyway, just a little side story on Pythagorea. Rented a scooter, drove the scooter around the island, visited some of the beaches on the north side that I'd come by in a car before. And then I met a couple people that were from Germany. They were walking along the quay. They were looking at my boat, asking me questions. I said, hey, you want to go out for a day sail tomorrow? They said, sure, let's do it. So we visited a group of islands, or just, I guess it's really only one island, on the south coast of Samos. There's no anchorage there, but we went over there and did a swim. Let me see if I can get the name of it. Nisos Samiopoula, a little tiny island. It shows on the pilot as having a couple anchorages there, but the anchorages were not good holding. They were rocky bottoms and relatively steep. I wouldn't want to spend a night there unless it was in very, very calm conditions. And then we went back to Pythagorea. So just a day sail over and back. Now that was my first trip to Samos. The next trip to Samos, I was coming up the coast and stopped in Pythagorea, so continued on. So that doesn't really add any new territory. But the trip after that, I was coming from Chios down. And I did have crew on board, and I decided I did not want to go back to Karlovasi again. So we got a little earlier start, and we started actually from the bottom of Chios instead of the top of Chios. So we started sailing down. In the morning it was really calm. We were motoring, then the wind started coming up, put out the sails, started sailing, moving nicely. Winds kept building, building, building through the day till again, it was a full-on Maltimi, full-on strong, strong winds. I would say probably near gale force winds out in the open. Okay? And I'd read this before, but I hadn't experienced. And I was warned, the pilot warned you, that the passage between Icarus and Samos can get very, very windy because of the Venturi effect of the winds blowing down there. Both Icarus and Samos are very tall islands. And so the wind gets funneled through this pass between the two islands. Well, I figured no big deal. It's blowing downwind. I can deal with it. But I didn't understand how strong the winds would build up. I was down to my storm sail, my storm jib, and it was still way, way, way overpowered. This is the only time I think I've ever been in what I would call hurricane force winds. The winds were gusting, gusting. I mean, you would have gusts and knockdowns and gusts and knockdowns. Eventually, I took my sails down entirely because even my storm sail was way too much sail area for the wind conditions, and I just motored. And even with just the bare poles up, I would be knocked over 30, 45 degrees just with the gusts that would be blowing around. My crew were terrified. I wasn't that terrified. The boat was fine. It was just the winds were pushing us around. But they wanted the life jackets, so I got out the life jackets for them. I usually don't wear a life jacket, and I wasn't really that worried about it. But because the waves, we had actually turned the corner, and the seas were relatively flat, so we weren't dealing with high seas. But I kept working my way around the corner, around the corner, around the corner. Finally, we got out of this Venturi effect, and we pulled into the town of Maracambos, the little port of Maracambos. And that was a nice port. And of course, you're protected. It's still windy, but not as windy as it was out, and nowhere near as windy as it was in the pass. Stayed there a couple nights, rented a car there, and drove around the island some more. Samos is a pretty big island, and you can do it on a scooter, but your butt's going to get awfully sore if you're spending all day long in a scooter. So rented a car because I wanted to see more of the island. And there's some beach towns on the north coast, and there's a couple cores on the north side of the island near the center way up in the middle of the hills, probably about halfway up to the top of the hills that I drove up to, and just a picture-perfect little Cora. You drive up, you have to park, and then you have to walk through the town because there's no roads to this little Cora. It's worth visiting. And then from there, I continued it back around to Pythagoras. So circumnavigated Samos fully one time. Samos is an island very well worth visiting if you have the opportunity. They may have a charter base now, which you could charter out of at that full-service marina. I'm not positive right now. The next closest charter base would probably be Kushadasi in Turkey, and then you'd have to deal with clearing out of Turkey and clearing into Greece. I like to get letters from listeners, so if you have any comments, if you want to throw your hat in the ring in case there's an opening this summer for the final put-up crew on the boat, drop me a note. And if you want to review the ASA 103, and you agree to write a review in Amazon and iTunes after you've listened to it, also drop me a note. And if you have any friends that you think might enjoy this podcast, pass it on to them. And one last request. If you have a chance, go into the iTunes directory and give this podcast a positive rating. It's been quite a while since I've seen a new positive rating on the podcast. That's one of the few things that keeps me going, so I'd appreciate it. Thanks. Get out there and go sailing.
Joe, you have something to tell me?
No, I don't think so.
I just got off the telephone with Bill Rutherford. Princeton can use a guy like Joe.
What?
Princeton can use a guy like Joe. His exact words.
That's unbelievable.
You're as good as in. I knew you could do it. Haven't I been telling you, every once in a while, you just gotta say, what the heck, and take some chances.
You are so right.
You've made me very proud.
I was just thinking, where we might be 10 years from now, you know?